word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
I can't think of anything that I would rather do than preach about heaven. The only problem is, every time I do, I feel like I just come up short. It's just not possible to put into words the beauty and the wonder and the majesty of heaven. We not only enjoy preaching sermons about heaven, we love singing songs about heaven. One of my favorites is a song that asks a very poignant question: where will you spend eternity? Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will your answer be? The Bible shows us that there are only two possible answers to this question. We're either going to spend eternity in heaven, or we're going to spend eternity in hell. Now, if heaven is my most favorite subject to preach about, hell is my least favorite subject to preach about. But you know, our understanding of God's Word and our appreciation of heaven will never really be what it should be without a biblical knowledge of hell. So what we're going to do in this lesson today is allow John, the apostle, to help us see what he saw when he was allowed to see a vision of heaven. In this vision, he sees all things becoming new. He sees life restored to the way that God always intended for it to be. These final words of the Bible describe God's dream coming true, his children coming home to be with him forever. And as we work our way through this text, we're going to first notice two similarities between heaven and hell. I know first it may be surprising you that there are any similarities, but there are. And those similarities are important to notice. But after we talk about those two similarities, it will all be contrasts. And the contrast is as stark as it can be. First of all, I want to notice how heaven is a new home. In Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And then when you come down to verse 8, the Bible says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Right now we are creatures of heaven. That's the sky where the birds fly. But we're also creatures of earth. That's where our feet are planted. So this is our home, heaven and earth. However, the heaven that God has prepared for us after this life is a new heaven and a new earth. And that word new means unprecedented, unheard of a totally different kind. Which goes to tell us that the dwelling that God has made for us is beyond anything that we've ever seen or heard. The first heaven, the first earth where we live now, will be passed away, it says, being destroyed by Christ when he comes again. Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, Matthew 24:39. And he goes on to explain later through Peter that this would happen when he comes again. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The elements will be dissolved. The earth and all of the works that are therein shall be burned up. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And then will be the end of all of these things. Once this old heaven and earth have passed away, God will bring us home to be in that new heaven and new earth that he has prepared for us. Let me tell you something. This new heaven and new earth is just as real as the first heaven and the first earth. This is where one of the similarities between heaven and hell comes to light. Heaven is real, but so is hell. Hell is a real place just like heaven. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. As he says in verse 8, those who have turned against God will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Many people consider the concepts of heaven and hell to be fictional, superstitions that are only believed by unsophisticated people. But Jesus certainly believed in the reality of heaven and hell. In Matthew 25:46, he says that these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. He considered hell to be a place beyond death which was to be feared. As he said in Luke 12:4-5, we should not fear those who kill the body, but have nothing more they can do, but rather we should fear him who is able to cast the body and the soul into hell. Not only did he consider hell to be real, but he also considered heaven to be real. A real place powerful enough to ease all of our troubles and calm all of our fears. You can hear it when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Heaven is real. Hell is real. And as you see the contrast in Revelation 21, you see the first heaven and earth passing away, and you see the new heaven and new earth coming into existence permanently. The idea is that heaven is eternal. Unlike the first heaven and earth that passes away, the new heaven and new earth will last forever. And this brings to light the second similarity between heaven and hell. Heaven is eternal. And hell is also eternal. Jesus used the same word to describe the longevity both of heaven and hell in Matthew 25:46. Hell has no end. Thus, the Bible describes it as everlasting punishment. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. There is no possibility of escape or parole. The rich man found out when he was in torment that there was a great gulf fixed and he could not escape from the reality that he was facing. But just like we say with punishment, so we understand that with reward there is no end. God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have everlasting life. You know, in this life, time never really seems to be our friend. It drags on when we want it to speed up. It runs out when we want it to slow down. In heaven, we'll never again fear running out of time or having to say goodbye to the things and the people we love. So the fact that heaven is eternal makes it that much more wonderful. We will never again say all good things come to an end, because that's not true in heaven. But the fact that hell is eternal makes it all that much more miserable, because it offers no promise of relief, no promise of hope. So, heaven and hell are both real, they're both eternal, but that's where the similarities end with these two. And from that point forward, there's nothing but stark contrast between them. As we go back to Revelation 21, John tells us about the new fellowship that will be available in heaven. Verse 2 says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Heaven is a city of holiness, a city that is untouched by the sin and the plagues of this world. I'm sure we're all about ready to hit the reset button on this year. But New Jerusalem is a city that you've always dreamed of living in. You'll never dream of being anywhere else when you're in that city. Sometimes people just want to get away. They want to escape. I just got to get out of here. But you'll never feel that way in heaven. Because in heaven, we will be welcomed into the presence of God himself. Heaven is the home that God has prepared for his bride. And I love the imagery here of John looks up toward heaven. He sees heaven as a city. He sees it coming out of, coming toward him as a bridegroom would for his bride. And in the ancient times, the wedding feast was such a treasured event, as the bridegroom would go and prepare a home for his bride. And when everything was ready, he would come with a great escort to escort his bride to their new home. And there would be a great wedding feast and a celebration that now their new life together has begun. This is what the Lord's coming is going to be for those who are Christians. Christ has made our home ready, and now he will be coming back for us. And it will be a day of feasting and celebration as we begin our new life together in eternity. I can't wait. I'm so ready to experience this. I know you are too. Heaven is place for the tabernacle of God, the tent, God's tent, his home, his dwelling. Not like the tabernacle of old that had a veil that kept people from entering into the most holy place. This tent, this tabernacle has no veil. But the way to God is open, and we are included and welcomed into his presence. After the great Chicago fire of 1871, a preacher went back to survey the ruins of his house. A friend came by and said to him, I hear you lost everything. The preacher responded, Well, you heard wrong. I have a good deal more left than what I lost. His friend was curious, so he asked, What do you mean? I didn't know that you were that rich. The preacher opened his Bible and read from Revelation 21:7. He said, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. Heaven holds much greater riches than this earthly tabernacle could ever offer. Oh, how wonderful it would be to be in the presence of God forever, to be at home as God's children. Our eyes have never seen anything equal to the beauty that will burst upon our sight when we enter into that heavenly home. One of our favorite songs says, Just one glimpse of him in glory will all the toils of life repay. But on the other hand, hell holds the terror of never-ending separation from God. If heaven is being close to God, and hell is being far away from God. That's really what the word death means in the Bible. It means separation. Physical death is a separation of the body from the spirit. spiritual death. The second death is eternal separation of the soul from the friendship and fellowship of God. There is nothing more haunting than that reality. Revelation 20, verse 14 says, "This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire." The rich man, when he went to torment, he looked across that great gulf. He could see Lazarus. He could see Abraham. But he found himself far away. How lonely and how agonizing it must have been to be so far away from paradise. Because you're so far away from God, you're far away from all of the things that mean the most to you here. There's no love, there's no hope, there's no peace, there's no happiness. I don't even want to think about that. Instead, I want to pursue that heavenly home that God has prepared. It's not only a new home, but it offers a new lifestyle. Look with me at Revelation 21, verses 4 through 7, where it says that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Heaven is a life without pain. We live in a world where we're used to eventually losing things which are important to us and saying goodbye to people that we love. We live in a world with the frustration of having dreams that fail. But in heaven, there will be no more missing someone. No more saying goodbye. No more failure, disappointment, or heartache. There will be no more pain. But on the other hand, hell is full of pain. It is a place of fire, which is an instrument that inflicts the most terrifying kind of pain and anguish. A place where souls are baptized in fire, Matthew 3, 11 and 12. A place is called a lake of fire in Revelation 20, 14 and 15. A fire that cannot be quenched, Mark 9 and verse 44. In heaven, it's a life without pain. In hell, it's a life with nothing but pain. And there is no relief. But furthermore, heaven is a life without fear. John describes heaven as a city with great walls. And the walls of a city represent security and protection. Let me ask you, how much easier would you sleep tonight knowing that an angel was standing guard over your house, knowing that no enemy could ever touch you? Well, the Bible describes heaven as a place where the gates of the city are left open, and there's no need to close them because there are angels guarding them night and day. What a wonderful, wonderful, peaceful thought. There, people eat from the tree of life, drink the water from the river of life, and have no fear that their needs will not be met. Revelation 22, 1 through 4. But on the other hand, hell is a place full of fear. It is a place of darkness, of outer darkness. Darkness has a way of communicating anger and suffering. It also has a way of communicating fear. Picture yourself in a dangerous city, in a dangerous part of town, walking down a dark alley. There are lots of places for predators to hide, and you can't see. You can't see barely even your hand in front of your face, and much less can you see an attacker coming after you. How terrified would you be in that moment? That's what hell will be. A place of outer darkness, Matthew 25:30. Heaven is a place without fear. Hell is a place with nothing but fear. But also in heaven, we can have a life without guilt, because God makes all things new. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, and he will give the fountain of the water of life freely. That water will quench our thirst and wash away our sins, and we will never again know the guilt and the shame. We will never again be haunted by the weight of our sin. When God forgives, he forgets, and our sin will never be remembered again, Hebrews 8:12. It's done, Jesus says. He has accomplished it. He's made it possible. You remember how the rich man, he wanted just a drop of water. But because he had been unwilling to show mercy to Lazarus in his life, Abraham denied him even a drop of water. But in heaven, there's no begging for a drop of water. There's a fountain flowing free, and we can drink as often and as much as we desire. Heaven is a place of sweet relief and release, of being forgiven and being truly free. But hell is a place of regret. Again, I go back to the rich man in torment. The Bible tells us that he remembered that he had five brothers. He asked Abraham to send someone back from the dead to warn them so that they wouldn't come to this place. Abraham told him that they had Moses and the prophets, and if they wouldn't listen to them, then they wouldn't listen even if someone came back from the dead. What really strikes me about that is how this rich man, he has memory of his life. He has memory of his brothers. He knows that he has missed the opportunity to try to save them from that awful place. Now that he has crossed over to that side, there's nothing he can do to change his life, to change his influence. All he can do from this point forward is remember and regret that he had his chance, he had his opportunity, and he let it slip through his fingers. Heaven is a place where there's no more guilt, but hell is a place where there's nothing but guilt and regret. And then finally, heaven is a life of rest. Verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Isn't that wonderful? Let's back up in the book of Revelation to chapter 7. I want to read a couple of verses, a couple of places actually in the book of Revelation that paint this picture for us. In this life, most of our days are affected by fatigue, by stress, by sickness, temptations, persecutions, worries, everywhere we turn. Often enough, we go through days and weeks and months with no rest from these things. But these things will not follow us into heaven. In heaven, we will be able to rest from all of this weariness. Revelation 7, verse 13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And so he said to me, "These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Over in Revelation 14:13, the Bible says, "Yes, says the Spirit, that those who die in Christ may sleep and may rest from their labors, and their works will follow them. We will no longer have bodies that wear out or get sick. We'll no longer be burdened with things that bring stress into our lives. No more temptation, no more enemies, no more worries, no more sickness, no more death. Just rest. But hell offers no rest at all. Hell is weariness with no sleep. Revelation 14:11 says that the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image and receive the mark of his name. Then I heard from heaven saying to me, a voice, 'Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them.'" How sad to think about weariness, but no rest and no sleep, of torment with no relief, of tension with no release. The Bible says those who are in heaven are grinding their teeth, gnashing their teeth. Heaven is a life of complete rest. Hell is a life without rest. Human history began in a garden. It's going to end in a garden. And the choice is up to us whether we will spend eternity in heaven with God or in hell. Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free, washed in the blood of the crucified one. He will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be?
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. to